Scott? Sounds good.
Testing? All right, there we go. Good. Thanks, John. Good to see everybody this morning. Glad you're here. Otherwise, I'd be speaking to an empty room, so I'm glad you're here. Not that I haven't spoken to an empty room before, but it's good to have you here. If you weren't here last week, not tooting my own horn, but you missed a good one, not because of what I necessarily, my performance, but Milton's testimony at the end was very powerful. And if you didn't get the chance to listen to that yet, pick up the CD or listen to it online. It was very powerful and encouraging to see that God can bring somebody through something as hard as that, as what he and his wife had to go through. So if he was here, I'd say thank you, Milt. But if he hears this, thank you again, Milton, for sharing that. I want to share something that happened to me last night, not necessarily to go with what I'm speaking on today, but just to encourage you. Last night, my wife and I and the boys, we went out to Park City just to kind of get out of the house for a little bit, and I had to get a haircut, so she graciously took the kids and I went and was getting a haircut, and I kind of got out of the habit of asking the Holy Spirit if there's something that you want me to say to somebody, and I think just because of preparing sermons and thinking on these things, it came back to me again. And as this woman's cutting my hair, I prayed, God, if there's anything that you want me to say to her, you know, just put it on my heart. And I just felt the need to tell her that, you know, God was watching over her children. So I asked her, you know, hey, little odd question here. Do you ever pray? She said, yeah, I pray every night with my girls. And I said, well, you know, I was just praying right now and just asking God if there's anything he wanted to say to you. And he wants you to know that he's watching over your children. And, you know, it wasn't anything super powerful. She didn't break down or anything like that. But she did just say thank you. And we got into a conversation about church, and her family grew up Pentecostal and they go to a church in Lancaster City. So just being willing to ask the Holy Spirit if there's anything that I can say to somebody else. Just continue to practice listening to the voice of God in your life and see what he does. So last week we spoke on suffering. And what do we do when suffering comes into our life? How do we handle it? Talked about the grape and the elephant. When the elephant steps on the grape, what's inside comes out. And sometimes life's pressures squeeze us and what's inside of us comes out, and it's not always good. And how do we glorify God even in those hard times? And the fact that as we persevere through these trials and tribulations, our faith is matured. Our faith becomes something more than just being controlled by feelings. It becomes something that can glorify God no matter what circumstance we're in. And after Milt's testimony, I don't think there was a dry eye in the house either. Just so powerful to reinforce that no matter what you can go through, God is stronger. And we don't have all the answers, but we trust in the one who does. We trust in the one who does have the answers. And today I want to kind of continue in that theme, talking about impossibilities in life. How do we handle those things that just seem so impossible? And the fact that God is a God of doing the impossible, and that God wants to use us in the impossible. It's encouraging to think about. But many times we get overwhelmed by those impossibilities. So I want to look at that a little bit today and what Scripture has to say about what do we do in the impossible. And as we look through society, right, don't we see things that just seem impossible to deal with? I don't know about you, but the political scene these days just seems so crazy. Seems like something I don't even want to look at or touch right now. Just seems impossible to, how is this going to work out? And maybe it's not just in the political realm, but in your personal life. I'm sure there's things that you've come across that seem impossible. Your marriage, you know, how is this marriage going to work out? I don't see an ending. I don't see a way of this working out. Or if it's a health issue, I just don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, God. It just seems impossible. Or other people, you know, regards to salvation. If you think of somebody in your life, you think, if there's anybody that, you know, needs salvation, it's this person. But I just don't see how it's going to happen, God. God, let me encourage you today that God is a God of the impossible. And I'll testify a little bit about that today too, and I know you can share testimonies of how things that seemed impossible, God did anyways, and how amazing that was. In our impossibilities, do we think God is able? That's going to be a question that we come across in life, and God is going to ask us, do you think I can handle this? This situation that you're bringing before me, do you think I'm able to handle it? And if you do, what are you doing? Are you in a corner? Are you afraid? Are you giving into fear and doubt? Or are you allowing me to work through you to bring glory and honor to my name? Are you my vessel? Are you open to what I can do in this impossibility for you? So you have to ask yourself, do I believe God is able in my situation? Let's look at Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, a little bit before verse 26, starting at verse 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it's hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." Newsflash, we're rich. In this world, we're rich. It's hard for somebody who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now, this is specifically dealing with the matter of salvation. And any salvation, like I talked about just now, when you're thinking about somebody who needs that salvation, Jesus is telling you it is possible. It might not look like it, but it is possible. I know when I was younger, and Dad's allowing me to share this story, we grew up on a farm, but things happened that we had to move to a development, and Dad was getting discouraged with the church. Leaders in the church were telling him things that he thought he would follow, and then they kind of backed out. When he followed through those things, and he felt like God was letting him down. Mom was going through some health issues. It was a very hard time for the whole family. And at the time, as a little boy, I couldn't necessarily empathize and understand what my dad was going through, which may be, for some of you, you have issues with your father that now, maybe more, you can empathize a little bit more with and understand that, hey, Dad was really going through some things, and I didn't quite understand. So that's where I'm at today. I understand more where he was going through. But he stepped away from the church for a while, was discouraged with God. So Mom and I, every night, we would pray for him as a little boy. And God, bring Dad back to the church. Bring Dad back to you. We prayed that every night for 5 years. And then one day, after the elders of the church and people would reach out to him, come over to the house just to talk, he came back. He came back to church, and you could see how God started to work more and more in his life, and it was powerful. And that can happen to anybody in your life. It only takes one day. Years and years they can be turned away from God, they can be stone-hearted towards what God wants to do in their life, but it only takes one day, one moment. So let me encourage you to continue praying every day. Who knows how long it'll take, but continue to do it. Keep it up. In the matters of impossibilities, I know I shared a little bit last week about my mother, and some of you might not know all the health issues that she went through in her life, and I'm not going to get into those, but part of it was her kidney disease. She didn't her kidneys weren't working for several years, and it started when I was in middle school. Her kidneys failed, so she had to go on something called dialysis, which is just a big machine that does the work of your kidneys. And of course, it doesn't do it as well as your kidneys do, because man's machine isn't as good as God's design. But the kidneys are designed to take out electrolytes and clean out your blood and make everything in balance so that there's no poisons or toxins in your bloodstream that would be harmful for you. But the dialysis machine couldn't do that as well. So calcium started to build up in her blood. And I know we know the good effects of calcium, but even too much calcium can be bad for you. And this was called calciphylaxis, a condition that caused these non-healing large wounds to appear on her legs, and her muscles started to weaken and deteriorate. So she wasn't able to walk anymore. So besides her multiple visits to the hospital and her heart issues and her kidney issues. Now she couldn't walk, and it just seemed to continue to pile up and pile up. I was in high school at the time, and I was at a Bible study at a big church, and the speaker was, at the end, he had people come up for prayer for healing. He said, if there's anybody out there with kidney issues, come forward. So I came forward, and the man and I who were praying together, we prayed over a handkerchief. We prayed over a piece of cloth, just like they did in the book of Acts. We prayed over it. And I took that home to my mother that night. It was late at night. Mom and dad were sleeping. And I said, Mom, I told her what happened. I told her we prayed over this. Let's put this on your legs. So we put it on her legs, and we prayed. And within a week, her legs started to heal. And she was able to walk again. And all because of prayer. Because of what God can do in the impossible. Philippians 4:13 may be one of the most misquoted scriptures in the Bible. Philippians 4:13, you see shirts with that message on or bumper stickers that says, it just gives you one part of the verse. I can do all things, it says. I can do all things. Which, when you look at it that way, it really just makes it seem like it's about us. And the fact that, yes, if we're motivated enough, if we have enough positive thinking, we can do it. I can do all things. But there's more to that verse. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, through him who strengthens me. When you look at it through the whole verse, it's not about you at all. It's about God working through you. It's not about your will. It's not about your power, but it's about Christ's power working through you that allows you to do those things. And when you read more than just that verse in Philippians 4, Paul is actually talking about being content in any situation, whether it's with wealth or poverty, sickness or health. He is able to be content and at peace with God because of what Christ is doing through him. He can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. He can be content in any situation. You see, there's more to the story about Mom as well. And of course, she's not here with us today. That was an answer to prayer with her calciphylaxis in her legs. But I was also praying for complete healing for my mother, and it never happened. It didn't happen the way I thought it would. And that was hard to deal with. And there's going to be times that certain things that seem impossible don't end up the way you think they should. And how do you respond in that situation? Can you trust God, even when it's not working out the way you think it should? That can be such a test to our faith. You know, I wanted to show a little video clip, but just with the technical side of things, I didn't want to deal with having to the sound and you guys waiting around to see if it would actually work for us. So I'll just tell you a little bit, and you can check it out on YouTube or the internet if you can. It really happened. It was on national news several years ago. There was a young teenage boy and his friend were in Michigan during the wintertime playing around on the ice on a lake, and they fell through. Or he did, and he was under the ice for several minutes, and he was not breathing, and EMS people came, pulled him out of the water, no vital signs, and he had been under freezing water for several minutes. They took him to the ER, they rushed him to the hospital, they were doing chest compressions on him, they were working on him for close to 40 minutes. It was a time of 40 minutes from when he had fallen on the ice to when they were contemplating stopping. They're like, what else can we do? And at that point, and this is like a 3-minute video on YouTube, his mother comes into the room where they're working on him, and she prays, she asks, Holy Spirit, please bring back my son. And at that moment, he came back to life. This boy came back to life after 40 minutes of being dead. We hear those stories sometimes. But I've never really seen a video clip of it. And it happened in Michigan several years ago. Those kind of things, those impossibilities can happen. But we heard last week about a testimony of how it didn't work out that way. And often when we see miracles, we kind of think about the other side of things. Well, what about all these people who didn't experience that miracle? And yes, I think I want to do an illustration here, since we have some young strapping boys that have come in. I just need one one man, young man who can step forward and give us a little feat of strength. Somebody who's willing to do it. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Come on, somebody. One person. Feat of strength, come on. There we go. All right, great, good. Thank you. Good, all right, let's do it. All right. I'm sure you look like you're familiar with doing a couple push-ups, right?
Yeah.
All right, good. So maybe I should have had you doing this before because you might do a few. So find a good spot. If you're comfortable, just start doing some push-ups. We'll just see how many you can do. Just keep doing them. Now, if you don't pay too much attention to him. You got to keep focusing on what I'm saying. But we'll just let him keep going till he burns out for a while. Just, yeah, keep counting. That's good. Keep him. People are watching and people are counting. That's good motivation for you. So you see, this can be a representation of our life. You know, I've said before that God isn't as concerned with our happiness as he is with our growth and maturity. We're more concerned about our happiness than God is. You see that comfort, we love comfort. We love places that are comfortable. We don't like effort and striving all the time. Keep going. I'm not done. As soon as I'm done with this conversation, you can stop. Yep, don't stop yet. So as we change and as we grow, it's painful. It's hard. You see, and as we're going through life, this is just regular life. This is just regular living. But then sometimes some kind of impossibility comes along and it makes it harder on us. And thank you. Thanks. Give him a round of applause, please. But something comes along that ruins the way we're used to doing things. You know, I thought about that, and I've used this illustration before about how when a baby inside a mother is comfortable, right? There's a comfort zone there, isn't there? And why is it that a baby is always crying when they come out? Why aren't they ever laughing when they come out? Why is it always crying? Why a little giggle? You know, it's because it's a change. It's a change. It's not what they're used to. They don't want to go into something different. It's unfamiliar to them, and that's our nature, right from the get-go. Our nature is to stay in what's comfortable. But how many of us know that if that baby stays in that comfort zone, in that place, it will die? So we see that God is less concerned about our comfort, more concerned about our growth and maturity. And how many of us are glad we didn't stay in that comfort zone? We've moved on. We've come places. We can look back and see, yes, they were hard. Yes, they were challenging. But praise God, I'm here. I'm standing, and I'm praising him today because of what he's brought me through. And even though it doesn't seem fair sometimes when we're working so hard, right? We're working so hard. Mom was going through so many things already. You may feel like you're going through so many things already. I can't possibly take on another thing. And you're right. You can't. You can't. And in that moment, in that impossibility, that's when God comes through. That's when God becomes strong. That's where it's, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because it's foolish to say I can do all things on my own. And suffering and impossibilities bring us to that conclusion. We realize you're at the end of yourself. You're at the end of yourself and you need God. The Bible says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then we are children of God. And that's what we are. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. If you have accepted Christ, you have that spirit inside you. You have that power in you to overcome those impossibilities. Isaiah 55:8-9 says that God's ways are so much higher than our ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how far his ways are from ours. We can't comprehend what God is doing in our lives all the time. We have to understand that his ways are greater than ours. But what do we do? How do we handle it? That's the important question. How do you handle it even when you can't understand it, when you're going through it? There's somebody in the Bible here, a very important individual, who went through something that they didn't want to go through. And let's see how they handled it. Let's look at Matthew chapter 26. starting at verse 36. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane for the final time with his disciples. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. He said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Jesus was sorrowful. Jesus was troubled. It's okay to be sorrowful. It's okay to be troubled. He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Jesus was sorrowful to the point of death. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed. He fell with his face to the ground and prayed. "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." He returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus was looking for a little comfort from his friends, but he wasn't getting it. He was looking for a little extra support there. He wasn't getting it. He was distressed to the point of death. He was falling on his face before God. You see that picture. I've lived that picture myself. You've lived that picture yourself. Falling on your face before God, crying out, because we're sorrowful. We're not feeling supported. He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back again, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. He returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered in the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." He prayed three times for this. You know, we often forget the internal struggle that Jesus had to go through to get to the cross. It wasn't just God in heaven, Jesus there, and Jesus says, "Yes, Father, I will go, I'll be a baby, I'll live and I'll die, and I'll be back." There was life in between there. There was struggle in between that. And Jesus really struggled with this. He didn't want to do this. He was asking the Father, if there's another way. There's another way that I don't have to go through this, bear the entire sins of the world. You know, this moment, this shedding of light in this Garden of Gethsemane moment, so intimate with Jesus at that point. In Luke's story in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says that he was so sorrowful and so passionate, he was crying, weeping, sweating drops of blood, or like drops of blood. He was so passionate about this. He was so distraught about this time. And yet, he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." That's the key. That's the key. Let's look at something else Jesus says here that's really a key for us. John 12, 24. Starting in verse 23 of John 12. Verse 23. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." So we see here, this is before the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, even in this hour, is struggling with this. He's feeling confident. He's feeling good. He says, "No, I know what's coming, and I'm ready." And we can say that too. We can say, "No, I know what's coming, and I'm ready to serve God." But then we see in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's crying out to God. He's saying, "God, I don't know. If there's another way, please, God, if there's another way." And that's okay. It's okay to be ready now where you're at for those impossible moments. It's okay to be ready now. "Yes, God, I can do it. I'm ready." But when we're in that moment, we're crying out, "God," it gets harder, doesn't it? It gets harder. "God, I said I'm ready, and I'm still ready, but if there's another way, God, but I'm ready. Look at verse 24. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And that was an illustration of Jesus' life at that point. See, if you're a friend or someone with Jesus at that time, not having the mind of God, because remember, Isaiah 55, 8, and 9 says, God's ways are higher. We can't understand the plan that he has for this world. If we were Jesus' friends and we saw that they didn't want Jesus to die. No, Jesus, you can't do that. Get behind me, Satan. It's not from God. No, Jesus, you can't do that because you're here now. Look, we'll make you king now. We'll get the Romans out of here, and we'll live our lives the way we're supposed to, the way we were meant to, the way we think we're meant to live our lives. This is the way our lives are supposed to go, Jesus. You are our Savior that was prophesied in the past. So when Jesus died on that cross, all that came crumbling down because the way they thought of the prophecy wasn't matching up with the way God meant it, God's will. So in your life, you have a way of thinking your life's going to go. So you have to battle between what's going on with God's will and how your will wants to take over and say, no, this is the way my life's going to really work out because this makes sense to me, how this life, this path makes sense in human terms. Jesus' life in human terms would have made sense for him to be king and overtake the Roman Empire. But in God's mind, he was to die, which doesn't make sense when we don't consider God's power. For Jesus to die, that's how everybody gets saved? That's how we get delivered from the Romans? You're going to die? You have to die to your will for you to be able to be blessed? For be able to God to use you? You have to die to yourself? That's what you have to come into. Whenever you come into a situation that seems impossible, you have to stop and say, God, this is your will, not my will. I don't understand. But just as Jesus said, your will be done. I'll take this cup and I'll move on in faith that something greater than I can even imagine is going to happen. I'm going to follow through. I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue to pray for this person. I'm going to continue in this hard situation, even though I don't understand fully. And because Jesus was willing to do that, because Jesus was willing to die to himself and die on the cross, we can be here today. His impact, his life affected us today, 2,000 years later. The disciples' way of thinking would have affected them for 100 years. And then who knows what empire would have taken over. It's all about the physical and the flesh for us. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, that we are so caught up in our physical life and our blessings, our physical blessings, that we don't realize that there's a spiritual world, that there's a spiritual kingdom that we should be living for, that can be so much greater than what we can imagine. And God wants to take us into that because his kingdom is now. So when we can die to ourselves, we can see that. I'll give you an illustration again. I'm only giving illustrations from my personal life here. My mother, again, here. Dad was going through his hard time. My sisters were going through hard times too. And they were in their teenage years, and they were angry at the world, and they were angry at mom, and they were angry at dad. They were screaming and fighting in the house, and my sister would say to my mother, why don't you just leave him? Just get out of the house. Just leave him. And mom persevered. She persevered. She was a woman of prayer. She was on her knees praying before God, not living for herself, not saying, you know what? I can't handle this. I'm out of this house. You take care of it. I'm done. But she sacrificed herself. And because of that, her children are blessed. Her husband is blessed today because of the fact that she was willing to let God work in her life. When you can do that, when you can lay down your life, God will touch others through your sacrifice. God will work through your impossibilities. Whether it's today, whether it's a boy being raised from the dead, which is awesome, or if it's a woman staying in a hard situation, or if it's a boy crying out to God, or if it's somebody striving for a career who doesn't get what they think they were going to get. Their life's not turning out the way they had imagined it would in their dreams. So now they're in a different situation. It's not as fun. It doesn't stroke the ego as much as it once did. But what do you do in that situation when it's not working out the way your dreams had intended? You serve God where you're at. You serve God in whatever capacity, whatever job you're doing. And let Him use you wherever you're at. I think about, we always hear those stories about the Navy SEALs and how they have to go through Hell Week and they have to go through challenges and ringing the bell and giving up. And we always see those who press on and make it through and finish and can beat their chest and walk with pride because of what they did and their own accomplishments. But we never see what happens to those people who ring that bell and who have to walk away. What do they have to deal with? You know, there's more of them too. And that's just not the Navy SEALs, that's in life. How many times have you rung the bell in life and said, I'm done, I'm not going to handle this. I'm a failure. I'm a failure at what I tried to do. I'm done. It's over. You know, we do that sometimes. I've felt like a failure before in my life. But when you're down in that pit, you're wallowing in self-pity, you're feeling bad for yourself because you couldn't match up to what you thought you should be. God is there. God is there, and He can use you in that position to reach others. You don't have to live for yourself. Even though you may have failed, He doesn't look at you as a failure. He doesn't look at you as a failure. He looks at you as a son. He wants to raise you up if you'll let Him and be used by Him to give Him honor and glory in whatever impossible situations you face in life. Let me close with reading Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3, I'll start at verse 14. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp, get a hold of how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. To know that this love surpasses knowledge, as we sung about today, the love of God, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Get Christ's love in you. Now to Him, here we go, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. God can do so much more with your life than you could even imagine. That's what He did with the life of Jesus. He did so much more than His disciples could imagine, and He can do so much more than you can imagine with your life. According to His power that's at work within us, that's within work within you. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. To Him be glory. So let's live like that today. God, it's not about me. Take my life and use it for your honor and glory. When I go through those impossible situations, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But I do know that I want to glorify You. I want Your will to be done in my life. Because I trust that that will be so much greater than how I could even imagine it would be happening. Thank You, Lord. Let's pray about that. Father God, I just ask that You would be with every person here today. Whatever they're going through, wherever they might have failed, whatever impossible situation they might be up against right now, Lord. God, even youths grow tired and weary. But those who wait on you, you will lift up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint, Lord. So we wait on you in our life, right here, right now, asking that you would lift us up so that we can glorify your name. Lord, I don't care how many people are in this church today. I want to see more people in this church. I pray for that, Lord. I pray for more people to be influenced and touched by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.